Well, the book of Genesis, chapter 41, we read tremendous words, middle of verse 56, middle of verse 56. And Joseph opened all the storehouses during the time of famine. And Joseph opened all the storehouses. Let us look briefly to the Saviour in prayer. Father in heaven, we come through the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this morning that the Saviour would open the storehouses for us, that we'd receive the finest of the wheat, that we'd receive the living bread, that we'd receive Christ in all His fullness. Bless us as we consider this incident in the life of Thy servant Joseph. We thank Thee that these things were written for our learning, for our admonition, to be put spiritual principles into our mind. And, O Lord, we pray that we'd see more of our Saviour today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the benefits of the beautiful weather over these last few days is that it has enabled us to see and appreciate more the lovely scenery that we have in this province of ours. More people are out on walks. More people are out looking around at the scenery than, of course, if it was raining. And it's beautiful to see the lovely scenery. And as I said earlier, what a wonderful little province this is. What wonderful scenery. How fruitful our land is. We do indeed have a wonderful land. We often take it for granted. Now, the downside of living in such a wonderful place as this is we find it so difficult to imagine what it must be like to live in a place where there's been no rain for years, where the crops have failed year after year. Indeed, going to our story, for 7 years, no harvest, and the ground becoming dry as dust, and the people having nothing to eat, and people crying out with hunger. Find it difficult to take in. And let me emphasize, as I've said already, that we ought as Christians to be concerned and be moved for people in such situations. Old Testament reminds us, the Lord heareth the poor. We ought to hear them. In the New Testament, you have the church at Antioch that took up an offering and sent it to the needy saints in Jerusalem, fellow believers they had never met. But it was reported to them that there was a famine in that part of the Middle East at that time. So the believers said, well, here, let's send money to help them. And so we ought to have that concern. But with that in mind, and underlining the truth of that, we have been emphasizing that Joseph is a wonderful illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. I'll not go through it again this morning, some of the evidences. But he's a wonderful type of Christ, and the incidents that happened to us remind us of our Savior and remind us of spiritual blessing. Now, Egypt was the wealthiest, most powerful nation upon the face of the earth at that time. Yet, famine came to them. But another aspect I want to underline, there's a spiritual famine. Oh, a person can be wealthy, a person can have plenty of food, a person can have a great variety of food, can have much money in the bank, can be rich according to the world's standards. You could say of that man, that woman, oh, they have little needs, and yet they can have a spiritual famine in their life. A spiritual famine. The Old Testament speaks about a famine of the Word of God, that the Word of God's not going out, and how true that is even in our own land. Yes, people may own a Bible, but if you ever go into it and open it and eat, as it were, of the spiritual food that's in the Bible, I'm saying that there's a spiritual famine today. Men have much materially, but yet there's a spiritual famine even in our own land, even in our own land. Of course, when we come to consider our standing before God, we have nothing. We have nothing. To be in heaven, God demands a perfect righteousness. But we have no righteousness. We're poor. We're bankrupt. We have no merit before God. Well, just as Joseph was used by God to provide the wherewithal to feed the dying, the starving, and save them from physical death, the obvious parallel, the obvious illustration from this incident in Scripture is that the greater than Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, has the wherewithal and the means to provide deliverance from spiritual starvation and death. Remember why this incident is in the Bible. It's there to point us to Christ. The Old Testament is telling us the Savior, the Redeemer, is coming. How he's going to be born of a woman, the seed of woman, Genesis 3:15. How he would be a descendant of Abraham. He would be a descendant of Isaac. He would be a descendant of Jacob. But there was a famine came. How is Jacob's family going to be preserved? God had already sent Joseph before them, we're told in Psalm 105, so that he could be their deliverer. So that he could be their deliverer. So that the Lord Jesus Christ would be born. And so I'm saying that this story has an obvious parallel in our blessed Savior, who has provided all that we need. Some simple thoughts. Number one, from verse 46, the preparation of the storehouses. Joseph opened the storehouses. Well, what was in the storehouses? How was it prepared? Well, in verse 46, the preparation of these storehouses, granaries we could call them. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. So when the land brought forth lots of grain, look at verse 48, he gathered up all the food of the 7 years. Later in the verse, he laid up the food. He laid it up in the sea. In verse 49, he gathered corn as the sand of the sea. The preparation that he made. The preparation that he made. Notice he was 30 years of age when he began the work of preparing the storehouses. He went out from the presence of the king out of the palace. And I want you to notice, firstly, it cost. This preparation of the grain in the storehouses cost. It cost. For 7 years, Joseph secured laborers. He supervised planting. He cultivated. He harvested. He built these great storehouses. Why? Because his primary goal, his primary work in those 7 years was to make preparation to save the people, to deliver them. By gathering together just what they would need. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the age of 30. Just like Joseph 30. He began his public ministry. He was in that work of labor for those years. Attacked, ridiculed. But he kept on with the work of our redemption. Living that perfect righteous life. Heading towards Calvary. He set his face like a flint. When Christ, and remember it was the Lord Jesus Christ who created this world. John 1 tells us that without him he was the Word. Without him was not anything made that was made. It was our Savior made everything. One of the walks has been, I'm sure 30 years since I've seen this, I have to admit. Down in Tullymore Forest, maybe some of you have already been there. And I can't tell you which walk, so just do all the walks. Go early in the morning, take all. But one of the walks, you know, there's the 4 mile, and there are 2 4-mile walks, at least there was decades ago, and the 1 mile and so on. Well, in one of the walks, it will take you by the face of a rock, and on that someone carved many, many decades ago that verse in John 1. Without Christ was not anything made that was made. Look around at the scenery, the beauty of Tullymore. And you look around and you see the loveliness of that forest park. And you realize that the Savior just made it all with a word. Psalm 8 says the work of his fingers. And our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, he just spoke the word. But when he came to make preparation for our salvation, cost Joseph those years. Granaries didn't just appear out of nothing. The grain had to be gathered in. It was work. Who can estimate the cost of the work of our Savior? But Joseph completed it. Joseph completed it. We're told that he finished it. In verse 49, he gathered it. He gathered it in. In the verse 53, the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. It was completed. And thank God there's a completed preparation. All that was necessary was there. He had gathered in enough. My, it was like the sand of the sea. So many grains. You go down to the beach. Go down to Malisle or Ballyhome or wherever. And the children, and they take their little bucket to make sandcastles, and they scoop it up and put it, and you know what it is. Can you imagine just lifting a handful and trying to count the grains? The sand of the sea for number. And that's what we're told, that it was like the provision. You have that in verse 49. Corn was as the sand of the sea for number. But after the 7 years, it was over. He ended. It was a completed work. And there was enough. There was enough for everybody who needed deliverance. There was enough for everybody who would come and ask for the corn. He had finished the work. Oh, I think of a greater work the Lord Jesus Christ did. I think of that work that he did for those years upon earth. And then when he went to the cross and the sins of his people were laid upon him. And we think of the awful cost of our Savior as he suffered and he died. What was he doing? Why did he die? Why did he suffer? Why did he cry out in the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was making preparation. He was preparing a full, free, perfect salvation for us. And after those 3 hours when man did his worst upon the cross, from 9 a.m. to noon, and then from noon to 3 p.m, when in the darkness God the Father laid upon Christ our sins, and our Savior suffered there in that darkness, and a great transaction was done. Great transaction, the work of our redemption, the work of our salvation. What did he cry out? It's completed. Just as Joseph completed the work of making preparation in the storehouses, the work of our salvation is completed. And thank God this morning as we meet, and those of us who stay and meet around the Lord's table, what are we doing? We're remembering that Jesus Christ completed the work of our salvation. He has provided, as it were, a great storehouse of forgiveness, of blessing, of eternal life. He has made the preparation. So when you think of the work throughout the whole land of Egypt, all these buildings erected and the grain stored in them, think of the great work that our Savior completed at Calvary for us. Joseph opened all the storehouses, is the text. The preparation of the storehouses. But why did he open them? Why did he open the doors of these storehouses, these great granaries? I want you to think of the provision that was in the storehouses. The provision that was in the storehouses. You know, of course, what was inside it. Look at your Bible in verse 48. Just underline some of these words. Verse 48, he gathered up all the food. See, for 7 years there wasn't going to be any food produced. Middle of the verse, again, I've underlined it, laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field. Verse 49, it's called corn. See that? The corn, the grain. In verse 54, you have a different expression. It's all speaking of the same thing, of course. But in verse 54, when the 7 years of dearth came, notice there was bread. Verse 55, they cried to Pharaoh for bread. You see, in chapter 42. You have it here, Joseph and the brethren. He heard there was corn in Egypt. It was an appropriate provision. The people were going to be hungry. The people were starving. The people had nothing to eat. What had Joseph in the storehouses? Here the people are crying. We've no food. We've no corn. We've no bread. Joseph opened the doors. Ah, what you need is provided. Exactly what you need. It wasn't just entertainment or laughter the people needed. Why I'm saying that is there's so many today think that what will satisfy the soul is just pleasure, materialism, things. No, they needed food. They needed food. It was an appropriate provision. What we need is spiritual bread. Just as our body needs physical bread, your soul needs spiritual bread. Now think of those words, the corn. Do you know in John 12 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ, the last time he spoke publicly, the very last time he preached to the people, he said about the corn of wheat, except the corn of wheat go into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But you farmers know, we all know, if you plant a corn of wheat, it brings up and it produces more. And it goes on in the next few verses, Christ spoke this of his death. In other words, the Savior saying, I am the corn of wheat. And I'm going to Calvary to give my life, so that I'll not abide alone, but there'll be a great harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ is the corn of wheat. What about the bread? He's called the bread. Well, do you know the wonderful verse in John chapter 6 and verse 35? Let me read it to you. Maybe it's a memory verse you learned in Sunday school. There's a whole chapter of a sermon that Christ gave, and it's all about bread. It's the very next day after the feeding of the 5,000. And the people came back, and the Lord said to them, most of you only come because you want free bread. It's more important to labor for the bread or the food that never perishes. Oh yes, we'll have to go out and work for our daily bread. But he said there's a more important bread. They didn't know what he was talking about. So he went on and he said, I am the bread, I am the bread, I am the bread. Go down that chapter. It's amazing how many times Christ said that. I am the spiritual bread. I am the bread which came down from heaven. If you eat of me, you'll never die. And in verse 35 of John 6, you have one of his great I am statements. John 6, 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. The whole chapter he's saying, I am bread. Joseph had an appropriate supply in the storehouses. He provided the means, corn for bread. And we're saying, is not pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in him there's an appropriate supply. The difference is this. Christ is the bread. Christ gives us himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Salvation is not some commodity you receive. Even eternal life. We too often think of eternal life as something we're sort of given. Eternal life is Christ. It's receiving Christ. He is life. He is salvation. That's the point I'm making. You receive Christ, and when you receive Christ and come into union with him, just as there's bread on the table, you have to take the sandwich. We had them last Sunday night, the sandwiches. You take them. It can sit on the table, it'll do you no good. You have to take it. Salvation is receiving Christ, the spiritual bread from heaven. He's the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the bread of life. That doesn't mean existence. It doesn't mean if you come to Christ, you'll live eternally, in the sense of existing eternally. There's a time when you and I were not. There never will be a time when we will cease to be. But the Lord was talking about spiritual life. Abundant life. Eternal life, he's using it in the sense of the quality of life. Oh yes, it goes on for eternity, but the quality. When you come to Christ, you have real life. There was a preacher, Lindsay Glegg, I heard him as a boy preaching, he wrote a book called Life with a Capital L. Life, just what we need. It was abundant provision. Couldn't be numbered, verse 49, like the sand of the sea. And thank God this morning we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the storehouse of salvation, there's more than enough for every person who comes. You know, it was, I would call this an anticipated provision. Here's what I mean. Before the people even recognized they were hungry, Joseph had already supplied the bread. They were going along, 7 years of planting, no problem, no difficulty. Ah, then the famine hit. And what did they find? Joseph had already provided what they needed. My, isn't it amazing that when we realize our spiritual hunger and the Spirit of God convicts us and we become sick of sin and the things of the world we realize can never satisfy us, and we realize that spiritually we're starving, we're famished, we're dying. Wonderful to realize that away those 2,000 years ago almost, the Lord Jesus Christ provided all that we needed. Before we were even born, hundreds of years before we were born, our heavenly Joseph provided everything that we need in himself and what he did at the cross. And so when the 7 years of famine came, they were already provided for them everything they needed for the hungry physical person. Christ has provided everything that we need spiritually. Well, Joseph opened all the storehouses. That's the text. Joseph opened all the storehouses. The preparation of the storehouses, the provision that was in the storehouses, bread. But the person over the storehouses. Our text says Joseph opened the storehouses. He had, as it were, the key. He was the one who had the authority. He's the one who had the ability. You see, the people of Egypt, they just didn't come and take. People from other countries, they didn't just come and take. How did Joseph's family get the bread? They had to go to Joseph. You know the story, jumping ahead, how they bowed to him. How did the Jew get it? They had to come. How did the Gentile get it? They had to go to Joseph. That's the whole point. You have it there in verse 55. Just underline it with your Bible there, verse 55. It's good to see it. When all the land of Egypt was famished, and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. How do you get the bread? You go to Joseph. When the dearth came and the people were starving, they heard the good news. There's lots of grain in these great buildings. Oh, how do we get it? You have to go to Joseph. I know if you've ever read much about the Irish potato famine, where many of our fellow countrymen perished, both north and south, both Roman Catholic and Protestant, suffered terribly in the potato blight that hit Europe. It wasn't just in Ireland the potato blight hit. A lot of myths talked about the Irish potato famine, by the way. What actually happened was there wasn't really a shortage of food. The grain crop didn't fail those years. There was plenty of grain, but it wasn't given to the people. Now, different ones are blamed, and I'm not going into the whole history and blame game. It's not our purpose this morning, except to say this. Study it. Many farmers made a fortune during the potato famine because they sold the grain for whiskey, both in Ireland and over. You know, to make the whiskey, you know how it's made out of grain. And there was grain in Ireland that could have been given to people or even sold to people, but there was a far bigger profit to be used in making alcohol out of it. Sad. People couldn't get hold of it. My point is this. Here's these granaries. There's the grain. There's the wherewithal to save their lives. But how do you get it? The answer is, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. There's no other way. There's no other person. That's the point. Who opened them? Joseph. Joseph was over the storehouses. Only he could open them. Notice in this in your Bible, in verse 41, I have this underlined. Notice verse 41, just to underline this. I have set thee, that's Joseph, over all the land of Egypt. You see that? In verse 41, Pharaoh set Joseph over the land. In verse 43, you've got it again. He's over all the land of Egypt. In verse 44, Pharaoh said, there's nobody will move a hand or foot except, you know, against you. And you have at the end of verse 45, Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Now, if you take notes, write a little verse beside that. I'll not turn to it for time this morning, but in John 3, verse 35. John 3, verse 35. Listen. God the Father hath given all things into his hand. That's of Jesus Christ. Pharaoh gave everything into Joseph's hand and said to the people, look, go to Joseph. I have set him over all the land. I have set him as the one to whom you need to go. And I'm saying in John 3:35, right at beside that portion, God the Father hath given all things into Christ's hands. Therefore, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not hath not life, and the wrath of God abideth on him. If a person wouldn't go to Joseph, if an Egyptian or anyone from the neighboring country said, I'm not going to Joseph. I'm not going to bow down to him. I'm not going to recognize his authority. They starved. It was their fault. You had to go to Joseph. And only Joseph had it. Only Joseph. No other one. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life, it can be translated, I and only I. The emphatic. I am the bread of life. Not Krishna or Buddha or Confucius, but Christ. There's no other name given under heaven. And Joseph opened in our text all the storehouses. That's that little word all reminds us again, there's enough. There was enough for everybody. He opened the storehouses and people were told, commanded, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph for what you need. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he himself has said, I am the bread of life. Look, it's interesting in verse here, struck me, in verse 55. Notice this. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Who opened the storehouses? Joseph. When did he open them? When the people cried. Isn't that a wonderful illustration of the gospel? When the people cried. When the people cried. And you know, when we come to realize that we need a righteousness we don't have, and we need a salvation that we cannot provide, and we cry. What's the verse that many of us were led to Christ through? Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call, shall cry, on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when the people cried, Joseph, Joseph, we're dying. Help us, give us bread. He gave it. When we cry out to the Lord to give us salvation, he answers us. When you are a believer, you have to keep coming to him. Keep coming to him. We come to the throne of grace. That's why we're here this morning. Because we recognize that we need help from God. We need what we do not have in ourselves. That we do not have the resources to live as we ought in this world. We do not have the resources to live the Christian life as we should. We need Christ. We need him in our lives. We need Christ to work in us and for us and through us. That's why we're here. You know, the people kept coming for those 7 years. Kept coming. Year after year, they kept coming. And there's a little verse, I'm almost finished, but in chapter 47:15, when money failed in the land of Egypt, in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence, for the money faileth? And then they gave their cattle, they gave themselves. Don't have time to go into the background, but that little phrase, when the money failed, they still came.
Thank God the gospel is you come without money and without price and tape. But we give ourselves to him. Salvation is when we come and give ourselves to him. Go to Joseph. Money can't buy salvation. We go to him. That's our duty, to go to Christ. That's our duty, to tell people to go to the Savior. Not just to sit and die. Oh, it's so sad when you see people in their obviously spiritual distress and need, and yet they don't go to Christ. We have to keep telling them, go to Joseph. You think of the four lepers, you remember another famine in Samaria? They said, if we sit here, we'll die. We'll go out. You remember the camp of the enemy? Oh, we have to go to Christ. You see, this is a matter of eternal life, eternal death. It's the most important matter in life. Go to the greater than Joseph. Notice though, in closing, verse 57, all countries came. Do you notice that? All countries. Oh, thank God this morning as a congregation we have spent this time coming to Christ. As we've prayed together, as we've sung together, what have we been doing? We've been coming again to Christ and saying, we need the Savior this week. But this message is to go out to all countries. To all countries. It's not just for us here. He opened the storehouse and all to everybody who came in verse 57. They weren't asked, were they Egyptians or were they Jewish or what they were. It was open to everybody. And how we rejoice at how the gospel is going out to various parts of the world. Later on in September, we'll have the Reverend Wesley Graham back with us to tell about the continuing work in Nepal, where later on this year, it's expected they'll be constituted as a Free Presbyterian Church in Nepal. We'll not be governing them, they're so far away, of course, but they'll be brought in as a sister denomination to our own, and that's through, of course, the help of Wesley and our church, and the encouragement our church has been in providing the Bible school and teaching and ministers visiting to teach, and the great increase in the work. Those scores and scores of new congregations over the last decades is absolutely amazing what's been happening. And what is the message that Pastor Thapa and others, former Buddhist Pastor Thapa, most of those people, when I was there, about 200 there speaking to them, most of them recently converted out of Hinduism and Buddhism. And what's the message that has saved them, delivered them out of their spiritual hungry? It is, go to Jesus Christ. Go to Jesus Christ. That's our message as a church. Go to Christ. Go to Christ. And there's a lovely story when I was thinking of this, and I know I've told it before, but it's a fantastic story. There was a great Indian evangelist, Singh was his name, Sundar Singh, Indian evangelist. On one occasion, he was in South India, where there are quite a number of Christians, and he was on a train, and of course the trains don't have windows as we know, it's just open. And he was giving out little Gospels of John. And one Hindu man said, oh, can I have one? And he delighted in taking the little Gospel of John and ripping it up in the face of the evangelist. And throwing it out the open gap and laughing. Sometime later, it came to the attention of Sundar Singh that a Hindu man was walking along near the railway line, and he saw bits of paper floating down. And he picked one up, of course it was in one of the languages there, Hindi or whatever, I'm not sure, but he read it, I am the bread of life. And he kept that piece of paper, and he asked his friends, he said, what does this mean? How can a person be bread? How can a person be bread? And as he talked to friends and neighbours, they told him, oh, that must be the Christian's book. And he made his way along to Christians and talked to them and attended meetings and heard the gospel. And Sundar Singh sometime later found out that it was that same day when he had given the gospel to John, and a man in his rage had torn it up, thrown it out with a window, just throwing it out. And God enabled that man to go to Jesus Christ. Have you gone? Have you gone? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tremendous words. Go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. Oh, this morning we would go to the Lord Jesus Christ afresh. Praying, Lord, if there's anyone who's never gone personally for that gift of salvation, oh Lord, that they've been able them to go this morning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with those of us who remain around the table. Go with those who leave. We pray the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit may go with each one of us. Amen. And amen.